Hey, welcome to What's the Plot? This is Sean.
This is Mandy.
And we're back with another episode. Mm-hmm. How are you?
I am good today.
Good.
I didn't do a lot, but I still got a lot done today.
Good.
Which made me feel good because I told you I feel like these last few days I've been running kind of crazy. But it's been a good crazy. Mm-hmm. But I've been running kind of crazy. And today I just wanted to kind of cut down a little bit. But yeah. I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm feeling better. I'm feeling a little more present.
Good.
Been watching a lot of weird stuff, so mm-hmm. Not weird stuff, but a lot of stuff that's been helping out.
Stuff that you want to watch.
Yeah, I've been trying to use my filter lately.
What do you mean?
As far as picking the content, because sometimes somebody said a long time ago, like, people consume a lot of information, but they don't do anything with the information, so you mm-hmm. just have a whole bunch of stuff stored. Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to use my filter.
I listened to 3 podcast episodes today.
They must have been short podcast episodes.
No, one was like 40-something minutes. I think 2 of them were like 40-something minutes. And then one was like 8 or 9 minutes.
Hmm.
But yeah, I did. I was pretty proud of myself. I think I'm getting back into the swing of listening to my podcast. I think last year it kind of happened for a lot of people where, like, because everybody's routines are kind of jumbled up and kind of messed up, people... Mm-hmm. I think even they were saying like podcast listens and stuff were down, but I just think it's because people were just out of their routine and people normally listen to stuff when they're doing certain stuff.
Yeah. And they also said that music streams were down too. So mm-hmm. that probably go hand in hand. People don't want to sit and listen to stuff. They're already in the house all day.
Yep.
So yeah.
But I've been getting kind of back into the mood of listening to podcasts and stuff.
Yeah. So listening to podcasts. So what mm-hmm. you been watching?
I started watching Shadow and Bone on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to see how that goes. We have been watching Jupiter's Legacy.
We have. So I'll leave that out of minds. Go ahead.
Huh?
I said we have, so I'll leave that out of minds.
Oh. Regular show. Mm-hmm. We started Chronicles of Narnia last night. Didn't make it very far because I think I went to sleep on it.
You definitely went to sleep.
And Couples Therapy. I haven't been watching a lot. I've been like really kind of busy this week. Yeah. Or the last few days or so.
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a lot of adulting.
Oh, well, did you want me to do my music?
Please do.
Okay. So I've been listening to some SZA, some Doja Cat, Temptations, Isley Brothers, Taylor Swift. Been listening to some Tink, Lil Jon, Hans Zimmer, Ramin Djawadi. I've been listening to soundtracks again. Started back listening to some Game of Thrones soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Some Jagged Edge, some Boyz II Men, some Her, some Chloe and Halle. I think that smoke's starting to bother me, but it's all right. What else? Where am I at? Oh, Jasmine Sullivan, Tone Stith came out with the new song, so I listened to that.
Mm-hmm.
TLC, Little Mix, Beyonce, Danity Kane, a lot of my playlists, Nicki Minaj, and I started listening to this new girl today, or new woman, Izima? I'm not sure how to pronounce her name, but she, like, plays the violin, so you just like classical music, but it's like classical music and hip-hop mixed together.
Ooh.
And she just released a project not too long ago, and it's called Classical Bay. So it's actually really good. It's only like a couple of songs. It's not a lot of songs. Let me see.
So is she like the hip hop violinist, if I shall age myself a little bit?
I don't know. Really? It's only like four songs on there.
Do you remember the hip hop violinist?
I know who you're talking about because she was in like everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys are interested in that, you can listen to it. You should listen to it too. It's actually pretty good.
Will do.
So what have you been watching and listening to?
So I tried to stay awake and watch Narnia.
Did you stay awake?
I turned it off because I knew that you were falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But Curb Your Enthusiasm, I'm back on that boat. Spider-Man, I said Narnia, The Prince of Caspia. We started that. Of course, the regular show. I have been watching the Netflix original limited series. Flint Town.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty interesting series.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I had it on my watch list for a little bit. I hadn't watched it maybe like a year or two.
Yeah, it's been on there. I think I've seen it like when it was initially put on there.
I think its original date is like 2018 or 2019.
Yeah.
It has to be because it's post-dates to 2016 mm-hmm. era time. Not that many years ago. And I've been watching a lot of YouTube interviews and everything. I do watch a lot of drug cartel stuff.
Yes, you do.
And I just found this nugget because if you don't know, Eddie Murphy and Shaquille O'Neal are probably two of my most favorite people
mm-hmm.
of all time.
Shaq just always looks like he's enjoying life.
Shaq reminds me to live life.
Yes.
but he was just telling the story about how he did the song with Notorious B.I.G., popular rapper at the time. during the time when he was first coming into the NBA and how he got the ability to actually record albums and everything. Mm-hmm. It's on somebody else's podcast, but all you have to do is just type in on YouTube, like Shaq Notorious B.I.G. and how he recorded, mm-hmm. like how he recorded with pretty much those keywords. Mm-hmm. What I've been listening to, J. Cole, some Giveon, some Ty Dolla $ign. I've been listening to my oldies mix that consists of Isley's, the OJ's, Frankie Beverly and Maze. Man, everybody. Kendrick Lamar, some McCoy Tyner. I keep forgetting how to say his name. Kanye West, some Big Crit, some Cam'ron, some Pop Smoke. Yeah.
Why do you always do that pause after Pop Smoke?
Because you got to know. You're from the Flossy. A meditation playlist, which is actually a pretty good meditation playlist. I fell asleep.
Are you talking about the one I created?
No, it's one that Tidal made. Shout out to Tidal. We should be exclusive on that one day, huh? Anyway, and some O3 Greedo, and I had really motivated.
Who?
O3 Greedo.
Oh my gosh.
O3 Greedo, he's in jail right now, but.
I saw this meme the other day, and I think I'm that person. I'm just at the age, I don't be knowing people.
What's funny is O3 Greedo is like our age.
But I don't know who the hell he
got on later, and he had to go to jail.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, his story motivated me, and he said something really important in one of his interviews. He said the reason he went like go so hard in music, and he record like 20 songs in a night and put out an album, and it'd be like people love it. But he was just saying like he stands on what he believes in, and he feels like he said pretty much like this is how he gets things out of himself, but this is also what he stands on morally and what he wants to do, so he puts his all into it. So that's how he said he's able to get so much out of himself, because it's like an open diary. So okay. he said it's like pages of a book. So every time you get 20 pages of a book.
Is he a good storyteller?
It'd be pretty good. I mean, you was dancing to one of the songs before I played.
That doesn't sound like me.
It sounds exactly like you. Yeah. But shout out to O3 Greedo, man. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Do we have any news?
We do have a couple things this week.
Oh, let's hear that.
So something that immediately caught my eye when I saw it, I think I mentioned it to you.
What caught your pupil?
Amazon purchased MGM Studios. So they're set to purchase them. They are set to purchase MGM Studios for $8.45 billion.
So they got them on layaway?
Well, you know, a lot of the times deals take a while to, you know.
Oh, I know about deals taking a while.
So this deal comes with 4,000 films and 17,000 TV shows. So they are hoping that this purchase will help to, is it the smoke?
Oh, no. I was drinking my drink.
They are hoping that this purchase will help to bolster Amazon Studios. So I believe the catalog comes with things like James Bond, The Handmaid's Tale, which is on Hulu, Fargo, and then the Epix Network. It comes with much, much more, of course. And then on the Epix Network, I think it has like Shark Tank, Survivor, Real Housewives. I'm getting this information from CNBC. So if you guys want to check it out for yourselves, that's where I got this from. And also they've been doing a lot, Amazon, I think, to kind of like boost up, their viewership, because they are spending about $465 million on season one of the Lord of the Rings TV show or TV series that's supposed to be coming out.
Oh, series. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't know exactly when it's coming out. I would have to like look that up, but they're spending some dollars. I mean, HBO does it all the time, or Warner does it all the time. They spend money on, things that they think are going to be successful. So
I think somebody said that a while ago, and maybe they were talking about music, but they were just talking about, but it relates to everything. The big thing from here on out, even from prior years, is content.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all going to be about purchasing content. It's not necessarily about the publishing aspect when it comes to music or whatever like that. It's about the content, because the big money is owning.
Everybody's competing. Yeah. So that's really what it is.
The big money is owning these things. So acquiring content.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Also, this was very, very touching. Howard University is going to be naming their fine arts college after Chadwick Boseman.
That's cool.
So, of course, I mean, well, if you didn't know, he's actually a graduate of the school. He graduated in 2000 with a Bachelor of Arts degree in directing, which is really cool.
Yeah.
There is, and I think Bob Iger, I think is how you pronounce his name, who is at Disney. There's supposed to be a fundraiser for an endowment named after Chadwick, as well as funds for construction of the new building. And if you guys remember, I think it was last week, I put in the news that Felicia Rashad is actually going to be the dean of this school. So that is really, really cool. That was really touching.
That is really cool.
I was like, oh, look at this. You're trying to make me cry all over again. So some Disney Plus news. So Oscar Isaac has been casted as Moon Knight for the Disney Plus series. Marvel confirmed this on Twitter with a tweet, of course. So he's like in the tweet and it has like, you know, photos and things of Moon Knight in the back. And I think it says We Are Moon Knight. So if you don't know who Oscar Isaac is, he starred in films. And this is like literally just a drop in the bucket of everything he's done. Mm-hmm. He starred in Star Wars, I think the newer Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's been in X-Men. He's supposed to star in Dune, which is coming out this year. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then there is a planned release for this series in 2022. But as we all know, with the way that things are going, things have been pushed back more and more. So we will see. They'll give us more information when that comes out.
Cool.
So there's some information on one of the Game of Thrones series that I believe I mentioned a couple like episodes back, but there wasn't like a name for it.
Okay.
So it's going to be called 10,000 Ships. Her name is Amanda Siegel, I think is her name.
Sounds about right.
She's going to be brought in on the HBO project. Which is like another Game of Thrones spinoff, as they're calling it, even though it predates everything that happens in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And the show is supposed to focus on Princess Nymeria. So this is a quote from Deadline, like about what the show is supposed to be about. So it says the drama is expected to follow the journey made by warrior queen Princess Nymeria and the surviving members of the Rhoynars, George R. R. Martin in these names, who travel from Essos to Dorne, following their defeats by the Valyrian Freehold in the Second Spice War. So they don't have a whole lot of information on what's going on. Of course, they're writing and everything, but that's just a little bit of information. Also, with the new Game of Thrones series that's coming out, House of the Dragon, just be careful because there are like spoilers and things leaking out there. So you guys be careful if you don't want to see anything.
But is it really a spoiler if we really don't know what's going on yet?
Well, you do kind of know what's going on because it's based on a book.
Mm.
But there's like, I mean, I think HBO is putting out photos and stuff too, but you know, a lot of the times when people know where a big show is filming, they'll go and like take photos of people like on set and things. Sometimes it can kind of give away what's going on. So that's what I mean. If it's not being like professionally released, I guess I should say.
Oh, okay.
Try to like avoid that. Cause I don't like spoilers on things. That's just me though.
Mm.
And then one last thing. Sources say Danai Gurira?
Sure, that works.
Sorry, guys. I'm, like, really bad with names. She is set to reprise her role as Okoye in Wakanda Forever. And there's supposed to be a Disney Plus origin story. Now, this has not been confirmed by Disney. This is information that I've been seeing, like, all over the internet. This I got from Entertainment Tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we know Wakanda Forever is set to release on July 8th, 2022, but there is no information on the series yet. So just wanted to give you guys that little update, and that is it for this week.
Great.
Yeah.
So that's some pretty useful information there, man.
Yeah. I wasn't going to put the Danai information in there because normally I like to wait until things are sort of kind of confirmed first. Mm-hmm. But I mean, who else is going to play Okoye? Let's be real. Don't do that.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it.
Yeah, cool. So, we're done with news. We did all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess it's time to get into the episode.
It is.
I mean, some advertisement could go here, but whatever. So, this week, we'll be getting into a film. Is it a original or is it just premiered on air?
I think it was in theaters and on HBO Max.
Okay.
It's a new film.
So, it's a new film.
Yes.
And the name of this film is
Those Who Wish Me Dead.
On HBO Max is where we watched it at.
Yes.
All right. So let's get into it.
You want to go ahead?
Oh, wow. You want me to do this? All right. So this week we'll be discussing the 2021 HBO Max film, Those Who Wish Me Dead. The genre is action, drama, and thriller. The release date was May 14th, 2021. The runtime is 1 hour and 40 minutes. The director is Taylor Sheridan. Mm-hmm. Writers is Michael Corita.
Corita? Something like that? Yeah.
Charles Levitt and Taylor Sheridan, which is the director. take it from there, please.
Sure. So the cast for this film is Angelina Jolie, who plays Hannah, Finn Little, who plays Connor, John Bernthal, who plays Ethan, which is your guy from Punisher, right?
Oh, yeah.
Aidan Gillen, who plays Jack, which we all know him as Littlefinger if you watched Game of Thrones. Nicholas Holt, who plays Patrick, or you might know him as Beast from X-Men. I could have sworn
he was... It just came to me. Yeah. He is Beast. He is Beast.
When I was first watching it, I'm like, damn it, he looks like the guy who plays the Riddler.
Yeah, from Gotham.
And I kept saying that, but I don't know, maybe they just favor. Could be the same person. I don't know. Tyler Perry is in this film. He plays Arthur. He's in there for like just a couple seconds or so. I swear for a second when he started talking at first, I'm like, that's Medea all the way. But he did a good job. So Medina Sengor, I think is how you pronounce it, who plays Allison, who just let it rip on everybody in this film.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Tori Kettles, who played Ryan. Jake Weber played Owen. James Jordan played Ben, and many, many more people.
Yes. Yes.
So the synopsis for this film, Angelina Jolie stars in this suspenseful thriller as Hannah, a smoke jumper reeling from the loss of three lives she failed to save from a fire, who comes across a traumatized 12-year-old boy with nowhere else to turn. Mm. Let's get into the film.
Let's get into it. So what'd you think?
So the film was not bad at all. It was a little bit better, I guess, than I anticipated.
Yes, same here.
Of course, didn't have any expectations for this. I didn't even know what this was about, honestly. But it actually was not a bad film. It held my attention, which is a good thing.
Yes, it's hard to.
It wasn't that long, which is good.
Yes.
It did not seem like an hour and 40. It's actually under an hour and 40 if you don't count like the credits and things.
They should start putting like in parentheses, like just the runtime of the film.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, overall, I enjoyed it. What about yourself?
I enjoyed this film as well. Mm-hmm. I seen the, I guess the HBO Max advertisement, the banner pop up, and I was like, huh, that seems cool. But then when you actually brought up that we should probably watch it, I was like, yeah, whatever. It's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of try something different. I feel like, we definitely have like certain stuff that we like, certain genres that we enjoy to watch, but I'm trying to be better and actually expand on what I enjoy watching.
So. Yeah. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. As far as the whole thing, I do think that it didn't seem that long. It did hold my attention. I put my phone to the side. I watched it from the beginning to the end. Of course, I wrote some stuff down to talk about. But other than that, I was just really watching the film. I was like, man, it could have been an extra 20 minutes longer. But you know what? I get greedy sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad film. I would definitely rewatch it. I mean, I'm pretty sure you missed some things, but I would say this. As far as, well, what do you think about the pacing of the film?
I think they pretty much got like right to it.
Yeah.
Also, one more thing, like it was shot really, really well. The only thing is, of course, you could tell the fire wasn't real, which, of course, why would it be?
What?
And then for some reason, what's his name? Aidan Gillen. I don't know if it was makeup or something.
No.
But it looks like he has on like heavy makeup or something, or maybe that's just his face. I don't know. But overall, it looked really good. But what was your question for me again?
The pacing.
The pacing. the pacing wasn't too bad. I felt like they got right to it. Action wise, actually in the beginning, right?
Pretty much they got
with them blowing up the family's house.
Yeah, spoiler alert, they really got straight to it.
Yeah,
they got straight to it. But you know what? I've seen enough movies that I kind of knew what was going on, but I didn't mind it. Usually, when I don't mind something, that means I'm following the story. The story was written well, the film was paced well.
Yeah,
for the most part, it was shot very well. I think one of the things that I think that they did during the shooting, because I think we were both a little confused at the beginning because the dad was in Florida.
Yes.
And they said something about Montana.
Uh-huh.
And we was confused because you were like, I never heard any.
Well, we know she's a firefighter, right?
Right.
And they sent her to I don't know if they sent her to Montana or if they sent her from another part of Montana. I don't know where she's from, but she's a smoke jumper is what they're called.
Right.
But in the beginning of the film, it showed that they were in Florida. And so when they were showing her having these visions of forest fires and them like being like, you know, out at this survival camp and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. I was like, this doesn't look like Florida. And then yeah. there was like a wild horse and like yeah. all other stuff. And then it kind of clicked when somebody said something about it being Montana. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. This looks nothing like Florida, which was yeah. my initial thought. But the dad is coming from Florida to Montana.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But like I said, she's a firefighter in Montana.
That's what I'm assuming.
She has these nightmares about these three boys that she wasn't able to save. Mm. And that vision's like, whether she's awake or asleep, it like play. Well, at first I didn't know she was a volunteer or not. That's why, like, when he said finally right. said she was a firefighter, but
yeah.
She has this vision that plays over and over in her head of her not being able to save these kids, which I can see how that would be like trapped in your mind. She said she felt like she was a coward and basically like she felt like she didn't do enough. And I'm assuming whatever happened with that situation, it was blamed on her.
You think so?
Yeah, because the guy that she was talking to on the phone, he said that. He said they needed somebody to blame.
Oh, okay.
So, because she was in charge of that whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And so I guess them dying in that fire maybe resulted in her being sent there to be a smoke jumper. Or maybe she decided to go there. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, we didn't really get a whole background on her.
Well, they were talking on the phone, her and the one guy. What is his name? I think it's Tori Kittles, plays Ryan, the black guy.
Okay, the dude. That's the guy from Get Rich or Die Trying and said 50 Cent up. Go ahead.
But they were talking on the phone, and I think he was, you know, kind of talking about that. Mm-hmm. But she also seems a little suicidal. Did you get that from her?
I feel like she seemed a little unstable.
Okay. Well, there's a scene in here where she launches a parachute from the back of, like, a pickup truck, and it obviously isn't her first time. I don't know if maybe she feels like she needs a thrill, but I know he said something about maybe if I send you to the tower, maybe, you know, you need like some alone time or something of that nature. And she said, maybe I'll just jump.
So, yeah, I can see because I think he said something like to the effect of like, I know what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, what is
she
trying to do?
She feels really responsible for what happened to those kids. It's yeah. like in her head, yeah. like fully. But then I guess we move on to the family, who's like the main piece of mm-hmm. this story. So like I said, in the beginning we saw the family's house blown up by these two men who came to the door, Littlefinger yeah. and
wow. This man name's not Littlefinger
and Beast. Show up to the door, they knock at the door and tell this, he asks her like, you know, where's your husband? If you're asking me where my husband is, my first thought in my head is something's not right. That's right. Just me though.
Right.
And then they tell her like something about a gas leak and she's like, oh, do we need to leave the house? And they tell her no, which that should also send something off in your head. Cause if there's a gas leak, you should always leave out. Mm. But they tell her like there's a gas leak and they need to like look at something. But I thought normally there were like gas leaks. They would do something outside. Am I incorrect on that?
I've seen them come in and outside
okay.
the house.
Okay. I'm no expert. So I'm just asking.
Me neither.
So they come in and then they come out. Obviously I assumed that they were just going to kill them, which they did actually kill them. Cause he said something about there being blood on them.
Yeah.
But you had already said like the house is going to blow up. And yeah. then obviously they walked away. House blew up. Now, the thing that caught my eye was it didn't look like there was any damage to anybody else's house on the side of them. That was a pretty decent sized explosion.
Yeah.
And we find out that the guy whose house is blowing up, that is Owen's boss. Owen is Connor's dad.
Yeah.
Who is the 12-year-old who is the main person in this like story. So mm-hmm. Owen hears about the explosion on the news. And he already knows like what's about to happen. Like basically.
Yeah.
So he's like driving to his son to school and he just starts to like, you know, freak out. He's like, no, I'm not like basically taking you to school. And mm-hmm. Connor's confused. He's like, I got an exam that I need to take.
That used to be me.
I did actually used to be like that. I used to like study my heart out for like certain tests, but so he doesn't drop him off at school. But instead, he goes to withdraw some cash. He calls, who I'm assuming is his brother-in-law, because he said that he was married to his sister, right?
Yeah, he said the kid is his nephew.
Okay. And then he basically gets on the road to go to Ethan's house. Mm-hmm. So this kid is actually, he's a pretty good actor.
Pretty good actor.
He
never
really
is. Never seen him before.
Yeah. Which I like normally in films. I know a lot of the times they have big names to draw you in for films. But I actually like, and it doesn't have to be like no big names at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fine. But I actually do like having people in films who I just do not know.
Yeah.
But he actually did a really, really good job in this film. And then, of course, the guy who plays Owen, like we've seen him in so many other things before. Connor kind of has a smart mouth.
He does.
Just a little bit, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, he curses, like, a lot. He's out, like, 12?
He's supposed to be 12.
He curses a lot for a 12-year-old. But he seems like a really sharp kid. He seems really smart. Seems like he loves his dad. We find out, obviously, that his mom died from cancer. Because I think we both had that question, like, when he was on the road. It's like, well, where's the mom? And then we find out later on that the mom passed from cancer.
So. Right.
But did you have any initial thoughts on, like, the dad? And
I was wondering the whole thing of the involvement and how this all played out. Mm-hmm. And why they're... Because, you know, in the beginning, they kill the family. Then they're like, well, how long does it take to get to Florida or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And...
Oh, they did say that. Okay.
Yeah. So, he's like six...
Jacksonville,
six
I think
hours,
he said.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Some particular place in Florida.
Mm-hmm. I think they were in Fort Lauderdale initially. And then he said, how long does it take to get to Jacksonville or something like that.
Okay. And then he was kind of breaking down like how long it would take for him to see the news till he will run and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But initially, I was like, you know, this might be good seeing this from the beginning. And then you see some familiar faces that you're used to seeing.
I immediately knew... I'm going to stop calling him Littlefinger. I immediately knew Aiden when I, because at first I think I heard his, I noticed his voice before I noticed his face for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's
Littlefinger. Yeah, exactly.
But the dad is a forensic accountant.
Yes.
And he basically found some information that he knows is going to get him killed. So this seems like a follow the money kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where they found some money somewhere that they weren't supposed to find. They probably were getting ready to alert people or something happened. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, these people have to die, basically.
But you know what? I appreciate.
What?
I appreciate them having this storyline because the film could have been like 2 hours or some change. Mm-hmm. They didn't go in between. Like, they didn't go behind the. Behind the scenes of who these people were, they kept a pretty clean storyline because it could have expounded. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, people write multiple scripts. I'm sure that at some point they expounded and they were like, no, let's just keep it clean. I'm not sure, but this is what I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty straight to the point. I do like that the families felt like families in this movie.
What do you mean?
There are some times when we're watching things and people have like families and it doesn't feel like they're an actual family.
Oh, they don't have the chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was another thing. The chemistry was actually really good in this
film. The chemistry was pretty awesome in this film.
So basically the killers go to his house and they figure out he's not here. They start searching around to see what they can find. Mm-hmm. Just from a photo on the wall. So they've obviously been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Just from a photo on the wall, they figured out where he was going next.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Well, he figured he looked at the picture, and I'm guessing that was his wife on the picture. Then they looked up and seen that that was the picture of them at this place or whatever.
The survival camp, I think it's called.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I survival guess he's school. Like, this is like, oh, okay, this is the place they most likely go.
Well, he probably assumed, okay, they're looking for somewhere remote probably to go. Mm-hmm. And he saw that they had a survival school. So he's like, okay. This probably makes more sense. They wouldn't go to like a big city or something.
But that's a hell of a drive, though.
That is.
It's a hell of a drive.
It is.
It's like, they say 6 days. That's almost a week.
6 days for what?
To get from Florida, wherever he was at, to Montana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a drive.
And it's really sad because, so he's trying to tell his son, you know, like in their car, he's like, yeah, I tried to do the right thing. And then, when they're in the hotel, he gives him some papers and he's like, I'm writing something for you that I hope you'll never have to use. So I think the son kind of has an idea of like something bad's probably going to happen. Mm-hmm. But of course he doesn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
But basically, he's writing down whatever information it is that he found, and he's giving it to his son. So if something happens to him, his son can take that information and give it to somebody.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really sad if you think about it. Like, he lost his mom, and mm-hmm. then, yeah, we'll get to that part. So, yeah. So as they're traveling, basically, to Ethan's house, which mm-hmm. is the brother-in-law,
yeah.
Their car is basically shot up, which is crazy because Connor was like, they were working on the truck, so-called, and Connor's like, are you going to stop to help? And the dad said, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But he was correct in that assumption because it was actually the killers.
Yeah.
They just started letting off shots in the car. One thing about this film, they don't care who they kill.
No, they don't.
They blew up. We heard kids in the background of the family whose house was blown up.
I think if you pay attention in the beginning, you actually seen some kids in the background.
Mm-hmm. And then, so they just started shooting the car up. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, they end up running off the road, flying off the road down into like the wooded area. Mm-hmm. And the dad tells Connor to like hide under like a log or something.
Yeah, it's a
and
tree.
He gives him like tips. You know, what did he say? He said a creek leads to a river and a river leads to a town.
Right. Pretty much for the most part.
It's just so sad because it's like, it's just sad. Like, because I'm pretty sure this kid knew it was going to happen. So Connor gets out of the car. He hides under this log. And then the dad tries to, like, you know, gun it in a sense, which I think he knew he wasn't going to make it out.
Yeah.
They just start shooting. And the kid sees his dad get shot up.
Yeah. It's pretty sad.
That is very, very traumatizing. He watched his mom, he said, die from cancer. Yeah. Then he watched his dad die. Whew, that was just a lot. Like, watching that, I was just like, my goodness, these people are ruthless. But, I mean, they're killers, so I guess they don't really care. And then, of course, he told him, you know, like, when he gave him that information, he told him, give it to somebody that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wanted him to, like, go to the news and stuff with that information. And then, so after they do that whole thing, they were like, you know, in a sense, saying that there's no way he survived it, you know, Connor or whatever. And then, or was that later? I think that was later. They were saying, like, there's no way he survived it. But there was a car coming down the street, and they were like, oh, our cover's blown or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And a lady pulls up to, like,
help,
and they shoot her in her head.
Yeah.
It was crazy because even in the scene, like, when Ethan sees her car in the road, her brains are like on the window.
Yeah, your face was like, what?
So if you guys are sensitive to that, I mean,
I don't know, but this gives me more reason to just keep driving.
Yeah. I mean, I normally, over the years anyway, I do not stop.
Yeah.
I just do not stop because you don't know who is trying to do what. And it kind of sucks because there are people who actually need, there are times where I'm thinking to myself, like, if I, especially if I see like moms and things like that, I'm like, oh, I want to give somebody a ride, but I just don't trust people enough to do that. So it kind of sucks. You know, she's stopping. She's trying to be a good person. She's like, are you guys okay? Did somebody run off the road? Or
yeah.
And she has a pickup truck, so she probably figured, I mean, she probably wouldn't be able to do too much shit because it's like down a hill or whatever. But they shoot and kill her. So if she has a family, she didn't make it back home to her family.
They're just smoking people. Kids are not out of the question.
Mm-mm. They just started shooting at the car, and you know, luckily the dad, he was very protective of his son to like the very end, and I love that.
Yeah.
But they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. Did you have any like thoughts up until this point, or
Up until this point, I figured since I was hoping that the dad survived along with his son, because I was hoping. Because I was like, man, if they're reading, because they was doing this thing on the side of the road where they were like reading people's license plates, and he was here and putting them into whatever database to make sure people are actually, I guess, residents or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, damn, man. I'm like, maybe if he would have stopped and got like a rental car. But I was like, they probably could put the code in real quick and see that it's a rental car.
Yeah.
I was like, man, maybe he should have told somebody, hey, let me hitch a ride and ride in the back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always think stuff like this when I'm watching movies. But I was like, when they see his car, because he drove straight from the school and he was out.
Yeah.
So I was like, when they see this car, they probably know what kind of car he's driving.
Yeah.
They're probably just going to start shooting. And that's exactly what they did.
I do love that he got his son to safety. I think that was like his main thing. I think he probably felt like, I know I'm going to die, but I don't want my son to die. And I think that was like his major thing.
Yeah.
Whew, it's just sad.
It's very sad, honestly.
So of course, you know, he takes off running. Connor takes off running. Mm-hmm. Traumatized as hell. But he's running, you know, he's trying to follow his dad's advice. And he runs into Hannah, mm-hmm. who she's out at the tower by herself, which is crazy because she's out like in the middle of nowhere. She didn't have any vehicle.
Yeah.
Like nothing. She's just out there.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, initially he runs past her and she tries to like stop him. Like, hey, I'm trying to see where the blood's coming. But she tried kind of like attack them. She's like, I'm trying to see where the blood's coming from. I'm like, well, maybe she get off of him.
Well, she was having one of those flashbacks about the three kids. And then she looked up and it's a little boy standing there.
Yeah.
So she's probably in the mode of, let me go help him. She probably see some blood or something. And probably saying, maybe I can save this boy.
Yeah.
I can save the other three boys.
But you know, Connor being Connor, he kind of cursed her out and was like, I mean, which I get, because he's like, if people are trying to kill me, I don't know who the hell you are.
Yeah, like you could be sitting up here waiting and you could be the shortstop.
So he like kicked her, you know, like get off. And he's about to take off running. And she basically told him like, I mean, you can run as far as you want, but it's going to be a while before you get into town.
Very true. Yeah.
Eventually he trusts her enough to go like with her. Of course he still doesn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she kind of gets a little bit of information on him. You know, she's like, are you in trouble?
Yeah.
Are you in that big of trouble that we need to go tonight or can we go tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like trying to assess the situation. And he asked her, he said, can I trust you or whatever? This guy's a great actor, by the way. I mean, he just cries right on cue.
We don't know if it's on cue. He probably needs some.
It's a little adorable. He has a little adorable face.
What's that called? The little rub that you put on your chest?
No, this looks real.
Oh, okay.
But he asks, you know, if he can trust her. And then he gives her the information. And so that's when she starts assessing things like, do we need to go into town? Mm-hmm. Is there somebody else we need to be looking for?
Yeah.
And things of that nature. So she basically sets out to get him into town, basically.
They could at least gave her like a four-wheeler or something.
I mean, if you watch the regular show, they drive this golf cart everywhere.
Everywhere. We know golf carts don't even go that fast. I was just thinking back. I'm like, man, she's like, we got a hike.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they could at least gave her a four-wheeler
mm-hmm.
to like cover some ground.
Yeah.
Because like, what if something crazy happened? I mean, I guess they figure like you're in a tower, like no bears or anything.
But at the same time, which it happens eventually in the film, I mean, he sets the forest on fire, but what if there's like a storm coming through, which she was calling in about.
So me being the nature lover I am, Ethan,
mm-hmm.
I didn't like that he started that fire.
That wasn't Ethan.
Who was Ethan?
That was Jack.
Littlefinger started the fire. Littlefinger started the fire.
Yes, I actually was thinking that. And you know what's crazy? I was going to say this in the beginning too, when I was talking about like how the film was shot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, these scenes just like...
I wrote that down in my notes.
What?
It's one of my favorite parts. Like
just the scenery?
The nature.
It just looks so good. I was like, oh my gosh. And then, I sort of kind of thought to myself, I was like, maybe I don't want to live in the mountains because of mm-hmm. forest fires. But I'm like, I would love just for like a week to just go stay
mm-hmm.
just like somewhere
real. Unbothered.
Yes.
Unbothered.
Yes. It just looks so, so good. And then there was another point in the film. Where they were like running from the lightning, and I was like, yeah, it's a bit too open out
here.
Yeah,
it's wide open. Wide open.
I mean, lightning is just striking. I mean, she initially fell from the tower because lightning struck the tower.
Mm-hmm. It struck the little.
Which is how she lost all of her communication, which is why they couldn't call it in, and they had to basically like just find their own way into town.
Yeah, it hit the satellite, and mm-hmm. she took off running, you know.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
So basically, like he learns to trust her like throughout the film. You know, he starts to tell her about how his mom died from cancer. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a funny moment because, you know, he had told her that at some point he told her that his dad died in front of him, and she was like telling him about the story about the three boys she couldn't save, and he's like, "Yeah, I watched my mom die from cancer. She's like, "Damn, I can't, you know, be sad around you." In a sense, like, "Damn, you just outdo me." I mean, unfortunately, you outdo me in like these situations. They had really good chemistry, though. You said she was gonna adopt him. That was funny.
Yeah, I think that's the only part that was missing. You know, like people were like, "Oh, what's gonna happen to me?" Because at the end, he says something like that.
Yeah,
what's gonna happen to me?
Which makes sense. I mean. You know, he lost his family, basically, which I'm assuming his dad doesn't have any siblings or something.
I'm guessing, or maybe his first thought was to go to this remote place out farther than what they would think that he was going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Where was I at? He starts to listen to her too, because upon first meet, he wasn't listening to her,
which is understandable.
Kicked her right in the chest.
Yeah.
And then, like you just said, like by the end of it, you know, they're sitting there and he's eating this food that looks disgusting.
It looks pretty nasty. Like astronaut food.
And he's asking her, you know, like, well, what's next steps, you know, for me? What happens tomorrow? What happens a month from now? I wish you guys could see this stuff he does sometimes. What happens a month from now? And she's like, you know what? I don't know, but we'll figure it out together.
Yeah, because, I mean, we don't know if the father has any siblings or if he has any grandparents or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We just know that this is, I'm guessing, the mother's brother. And that's because we don't know if he actually, what actually happens to the uncle.
Yeah.
At the end.
Well, I think he died. Either he died or he's not going to be in a position to take care of somebody. Because,
right,
you know, the killers ended up finding his uncle.
Which is the Punisher.
And they end up basically like adult napping his uncle.
Yeah.
to help him find Connor.
Yeah.
So in the midst of all this, he ends up getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically nearly get burned up. So
yeah,
they had a mask. I don't think it was smoke inhalation. I don't think it was. Mm-hmm. But
it could have been.
It was morning time by the time they found them. So.
And where did the fire go?
That's on my notes. Who put the fire out? It was a major fire. A lot of the times it takes them days to put fires
so
out.
So maybe I don't know if we don't know a lot about fires or
we
whatever.
We don't actually.
So I don't know if stuff comes, if it's like when it's a fire running through something, does it go through certain areas quicker than others?
I mean, you said it was dry.
I don't know.
So basically he threw like the flares out and then that's what caused the fire. And it spread it literally like wildfire. Like it just went. And I guess they said like it went over the tower or around it. I'm not really sure how that happened.
Either way, it was out by whatever morning.
But it was out by the morning. And I'm like, that was a pretty big fire. That was my only thing. I'm not a firefighter. I don't know anybody that is. I don't know how this stuff works or anything of that nature. So not... You know,
if you do, email us and let us know.
Basically, we're saying we don't know.
Yeah.
But the fire was just out really fast. So I was kind of confused about that.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing that we always notice in films.
What's that?
There's a time limit on things.
Yes, I wrote that down.
So the killers have 6 hours to find Connor.
Yeah.
You know, who basically has the duplicate information. So this is what Tyler Perry's character, Arthur. You know, he meets up with these two, Patrick and Jack. And mm-hmm. That's what he's telling them, like, well, telling Jack, we need to get this information, basically.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he's basically telling them to kill Connor.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Madea would have did it.
Madea would not have done it, actually. Madea actually would have killed the killers.
Ooh. Madea kills a killer.
It was kind of cool seeing him do something different, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's done other things, but... This isn't a Tyler Perry Studios production.
But you know what's funny? His mannerisms make you kind of think like, I was like.
You hear it and you see
it. I wonder, was it a take where he did it? I don't know. Whatever. Whatever.
I love Tyler Perry though. Yeah. I mean, he has some things I'm not too fond of, but I love Tyler Perry. What else? So let's talk about Allison. Allison is Ethan's wife.
Yeah.
She's pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. So they go to Ethan's house because they obviously know that Ethan is related to Connor. And they like, okay, if they're coming out here, they're obviously going to his house.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to get into her house and she had her hand on some bear spray. They like, can we come in? She's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
You cannot come in here. She's like, he'll be back at a, you know, whenever, but no. So they basically, you know, break into the house, basically. Throw her across the table and she's 6 months pregnant. That pissed me off so bad. So the one guy, Patrick, he like leans over to him or whatever, to Jack, and he's like, yeah, I think she's pregnant. So he asks her, is she pregnant? He starts asking her all these questions about Connor and she's like, he's with my husband, I can call my husband, yada yada.
She's thinking quick on her feet.
She's really smart. So she calls her husband, but they have a code word for when they're in trouble.
Uh-huh.
So her husband automatically knew she was in trouble. So mm-hmm. obviously he came rushing home. So in the midst of all this, she's in there and, you know, they attack her. So she takes the bear spray. He was, you know, acting like he was getting ready to shoot her. She takes the bear spray and she pointed it at the fire.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you have to point it the wrong way, which she runs a survival school with her husband. So I think that it's them that run the school, right?
Either it's her or both of
them. I think it's both of them. And she's like, basically like, in a sense, no, I don't. So she sprayed the spray and it turned, you know, is it flammable, basically?
I guess so, yeah.
So she aerosol. Starts using it like a torch on the both of them. Aidan Gillen's character gets his ass beat the most out of the two of them.
So this fool got he gets a limp, then he gets scorched.
Because he got hit by the dad.
Yeah.
Then they both get the fire. He gets caught on fire, literally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so she makes it out of the room. She runs into the other room where she has a gun. She starts shooting at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
She makes it out of the house. I'm like, she was not playing with either one of them.
She upped the blick, and I was proud of her.
Yeah, I was too. So she eventually, you know, because her husband comes home, they kill the one sheriff who shows up with him, the one who's eating the steak.
Yeah, they kill him, like, immediately.
Yeah. And then, basically, like, you know, that's when they take her husband.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But since she wasn't captured, I guess they have a way of tracking each other as well. She's able to see where he's at. So she goes and get the horse, and she rides out with her gun to go find her husband.
Yeah.
She shows up, because they're shooting inside of the tower.
Mm-hmm.
She shoots and kills Aidan Gillen's character, Jack.
Yeah.
The other guy had gone to chase off Hannah and Connor. But she killed him and got to her husband, you know, got their mask and everything on. And I don't know if he died or not, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he might not be in any state to take care of a kid. And then she's pregnant.
Yeah, true.
But I was really proud of her. I was like, she was not playing games with anybody. She's like, I don't know what y'all thought, but I'm getting up out of here.
She showed up and she showed out.
She did. She did a really good job.
She showed up and she showed out.
Yeah. Ethan's also really important to the story because he makes sure that Hannah and Connor gets out of that tower.
Yeah.
You know, the moment they started shooting, you know, and when he first walked in, he's like, you know, if you're hidden, stay hidden, you know, like talking to them. But they saw him talking. And then, of course, they start shooting, but they are able to make it out the back, in a sense, of the tower. Now, one of the guys does see them and he still chases them, although he dies too.
Yeah.
They make it out, you know, Hannah and Connor, which is good because I didn't know how that was going to play out. And then, what was I going to say? I mean, I thought he died, but I don't know. But,
yeah,
I mean, he was very important because he saw Connor's footprint and he tried to, like, cover that up. And he was trying to convince him, like, yeah, there's no way he survived. He probably flew out of the vehicle and, you know, just trying to play his part.
So, with the one guy, is it Patrick, being the vet, I'm going to figure that he had more tracking abilities versus them having to use Ethan. Because the guy that's...
Cool.
It's Patrick.
Which one are you talking about?
The tall, the beast.
Yeah.
So I would figure that he would have some type of tracking skills as far as being a person.
I mean, yeah, he's picking up photos and figuring out where people are going.
And he's like a sharpshooter and everything. Like he's a sniper. I'm guessing he know how to use a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring, like, why do they need Ethan to do this?
And then they say they were going to make him kill his nephew. It's like, what makes you think I'm going to do that?
Yeah.
He just told them, he said, y'all might as well kill me right now.
Yeah.
But of course they didn't, you know, they didn't do that. But I thought initially he had, like, sort of kind of caused a scene in a sense, because maybe he saw somebody who was on their way to, like, come save him or something. Or like you thought he grabbed something off of them or. But no, I guess he was serious. He was just like, might as well kill me at this point because I'm not doing it.
Might as well punish him.
Yeah. Whatever. Also, so there's something else that I noticed in this film, and I had brought it up and you thought I was crazy when I said it. So out of nowhere, Connor has an accent that is not the accent he has been using in the film.
He was nervous.
And I said, wait, what was that? And so naturally I rewinded it back. you told me he didn't have an accent. And I said, no, I bet when I look this up, this kid is from somewhere. He isn't from America, which that's not an issue for me.
What did you find?
He's Australian.
Okay.
Whatever, man. But I noticed it because I'm like, yo, where did that accent just come from?
Yeah.
But he was still adorable, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, by the end, I guess Connor is going to be with Hannah or something's going to work out with that. I would hope he doesn't go into the foster system. Or he could be with
his aunt by marriage.
Well, she's pregnant and there's no telling what's going on with her husband. True. But you might
still
be right.
There's still a place to stay. Or
maybe there'll be a community around him. Right. That could be it too. And then what else? Of course, like we said with Hannah, because she told them, they said we need a medevac, and she's like, don't rush it. Like, yeah. There's no point. So hopefully her baby's okay. She's gotten thrown across tables. She's been in all types of stressful situations in the last several hours. So hopefully her baby's okay. I mean, I know it's a film, but just speaking about the characters. but yeah, they came to Montana and caused a lot of problems, yeah. Setting forest fires and things of that nature. So
ruckus and melee.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Yeah. So.
Oh, and the other thing Connor said, like, Hannah was like, you know, talking about the fire, and she's like, yeah, I looked at right in the eye or something, and Connor was like, well, I was fucking terrified. I don't know about you. But yeah, overall, I did enjoy the film. I don't know if I would rewatch it, but I would recommend it.
I would recommend it. I would rewatch it with somebody else.
Why somebody else?
Because I'm like,
get a different perspective.
Yeah, I want to see how they would feel about it.
Okay.
Because, you know, watching your face with stuff is like, oh, dang.
Well, actually, I was like into the movie, so this time around anyway.
So I think some of my favorite parts is the scenery shots.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Let me see, because I got other stuff written down here.
Sure.
Yawn, let me get to it.
Wow.
Oh, the sheriff's wife. Everything she did was one of my favorite parts. Mm-hmm. Seeing Tyler Perry was one of my favorite parts.
I actually enjoy seeing Tyler.
even though I kept thinking about Madea. But
it's hard not to.
He's made that character a household name, especially in the black community.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just watch her murk the killers. And the X fight with the guy Patrick.
Yeah.
When Angelina Jolie's character murked that fool.
Yeah, I mean, she's already been through a lot. I mean, her feet are like all jacked up.
Man, she pulling peroxide. And you know when you got a real wound is when the peroxide burn.
Because
I've been, you know, I've cut myself before, but when you cut yourself deep and that peroxide burn, that means you got a deep cut.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. least favorite is when they murked the old girl from trying to help. And when they murked the whole family in the beginning, it's like, God, dog.
Because I know, I mean, of course, you don't want anybody innocent, period, to die. Or, you know, somebody just doing what they're supposed to do. But to do it, and then there's kids in the house, it sounded like, that was just crazy.
They were no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
No mercy. It's like they were the killers from the interpretation of Family Guy, Home Alone. I don't know if you remember that clip.
No.
When it was like, if Home Alone was real, and like they come to the house, and he's like, hey.
No, I've never seen
and
that.
And he's like standing on the stage, like, hey, bad guys, I'm up here. And they just turn around and shoot him. He's like, yep, that's it. That's the end of the movie.
I'm going to look that up. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so that's, they like, yeah, we ain't about to slide on no marbles and we ain't about to do none of
that. You know
what?
Family Guy has some trashy stuff on there, but there are some clips that just, my goodness, they're funny.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, I think the film is pretty good. I loved it. Well, I won't say loved it. I liked it hard.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a 4 out of me.
A 4 gets about a 3.5 out of me.
I'm gonna go with a hard 4.
Cool.
Good screenplay. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
I would say get that thing. Anything else to add?
No. Just that we were working on planning out our content. I'm not gonna tell you guys exactly what we've been planning out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna try something different next week. So you guys make sure you come back next week and listen. And let us know what you think about it.
Yeah, because we have to be weekly.
That's an inside joke.
Yeah, we have to be weekly. But shout out to everybody. Shout out to the sponsors. And shout out to everybody that listens.
Yeah.
And everybody that subscribes. And everybody that wants the email but holds back. email, follow us, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. If you guys have podcasts that we should be checking out that are yours that you have some insight about, or mostly just movie and TV stuff that we would like to see so we can review some things that you like or some things that you think that we should be reviewing. But whatever you have, just email us, give us good links, follow us on Instagram at _the_plot and email us at whatistheplot@gmail.com. And I'm done. You got anything else?
Just subscribe and download wherever you listen to podcasts.
Please subscribe, download. And that's it. Yeah. And I'm going to continue to beg. All right. All right. But until
what?
But until next time.
Bye.
See you guys later.